نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله is only the grace of Allah Ta'ala that Allah Rabbul Izzat has allowed for us to gather once again and gathering only for His pleasure. There's no other reason, other objective for which we have gathered only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. We are hopeful that Allah Ta'ala will be pleased.
Amen.
And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will allow for us to speak and hear something that will be a means of our hidayat, a means of our islah, a means of our connection with Allah Ta'ala becoming stronger, a means of our connection with Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam becoming stronger, our iman becoming stronger, amal increasing. Sometimes we sit for a program, we learn about something that we didn't know was wrong. Maybe doing something that we didn't know is wrong. We sit in a program, we are educated, we learn. Sometimes we know something is wrong, but it's in the back of our minds. We're doing it, we know it's wrong. But we sit in a program, and at that time, Allah Ta'ala makes it hit home. Allah Ta'ala makes it hit home. You know what? I've heard this thing so many times. Now I think it's time that I make the change. So whenever we sit, we must always sit with this cry in our heart. One is our niyat, that we are sitting only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Second is, I must have a cry in my heart. Ya Allah, let it be a means of my hidayat. Hidayat is of different levels. Different levels of hidayat. Hidayat is such a thing that there is nothing in this dunya that doesn't receive hidayat. Even plants receive hidayat. You don't find one day the carrots decide to grow above the ground. The hidayat given to the carrots is they must grow in the ground. They grow down. Those plants that need to grow up, Allah Ta'ala gives them that hidayat to grow up. Animals have their hidayat. Sometimes you get an animal that is orphaned. So I've got a little calf at home currently. It's about 3 weeks old. Just under 3 weeks old. So at 2 days old, the mother passed away. So the farmer phoned me and he said that, Maulana, I've got this calf. Mother has died. Will you look after it? I said, all right, no problem. Bring it away, we'll look after it. So now we have to bottle feed the calf. Right? Now, you can't talk to the calf. It doesn't have a mother to educate it. Right? And there's no other calves around. Nothing else, its type around. Right? How it knows it must drink milk from the bottle? Who taught it that it must now drink milk from the bottle? This is the hidayat given to the animal. Right? Already now he's walking around sniffing different plants, leaves, sniffing at the grass. Can't eat. Currently can't eat all those things. In a few more weeks' time he'll start nibbling. But who taught him that he must eat that and he mustn't eat meat? So this is hidayat from Allah Ta'ala towards the animals. You don't find a lion going on a vegetarian diet. And you don't find a buck deciding he's going to start eating meat. Each one has his specific hidayat. And then you get the hidayat that is given to mankind. To insan and jinnat. That is the hidayat to bring iman. A person brings iman. But then after bringing iman, he is told to still bring iman. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, aminu. O you who have brought iman, bring iman. Wa idha tuliyat alayhim ayatuhu zadathum iman. When they read, when the verses of the Quran Sharif are read to them, their iman increases. So there is no end to the hidayat. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that he makes tawbah and istighfar, makes tawbah 100 times a day. Now Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is masoom, he is sinless. Why was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making tawbah 100 times a day? So different ulama have given different explanations. But one explanation given is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his recognition of Allah Ta'ala, his love for Allah Ta'ala was increasing all the time. So when his recognition, one is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala he had, no other human being possessed anything close to him. Despite that, that level also was increasing. So every time that level increases, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make tawbah over the previous level that he was on. And this will continue even on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that I will go in front of Allah Ta'ala, I will go to the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala, and I will bow down, I will go into ruku in front of Allah Ta'ala. And at that time, Allah Ta'ala will inspire me with such praises of Allah Ta'ala which I myself don't know currently. So the grandeur, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, nobody can fully comprehend. Even at that time, the greatest after Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he too will still be inspired of further praises which he didn't know while he was in the dunya. So this hidayat continues. None of us can say that we don't need it anymore. Now I got iman, I'm reading my salah, I'm doing certain things, I'm okay. Each one of us, we have to keep exerting ourselves, we have to keep learning, we have to keep striving, we have to keep trying, because we have to get closer and closer to Allah Ta'ala. We're coming now towards Hajj, coming now towards Eid al-Adha. Imagine the level of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam's iman, his love for Allah Ta'ala, his loyalty to Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala showed him in a dream that he is slaughtering his only son. Now he goes to the son and he expresses, this is what I am seeing in a dream. The son spontaneously, what was his level of iman? Spontaneously he says that, oh my beloved father, if'al ma tu'mar, do what you have been commanded. Now there are two things. One is, spontaneously he was ready to give his life. One side, the father now to take the life of the son. Other side, the readiness of the son to give his life. And then look at the knowledge of the son. That he is young, Ibrahim alayhi salam, at that time, different reports, different views, between 6 and 10 years of age. So young boy. Right? The father is telling him that I am seeing in a dream I'm seeing a dream that I am slaughtering you. His response is not, okay, father, carry out what you saw in your dream. No. He says, if al ma tu'mar, do what you have been commanded to do. This was his knowledge, the level of his knowledge already, that the dream of a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala is a command from Allah Ta'ala. So, I need to ask myself, you need to ask yourself, where am I? Where am I? So I need to do still so much to reach that level of loyalty, that level of love for Allah Ta'ala, that I'm prepared to sacrifice everything. Even my own child also I'm prepared to sacrifice. Imagine Sayyidina Lut alayhi salam, right? The Azab is going to come. He is told that the Azab is going to come. Your whole family will be saved besides your wife. So he must not tell her that she mustn't look back. All are given the command not to look back. If you look back at the Azab is going to afflict you. Now that is his wife. He had children from her. And now he's going with these children. She is also coming. But she's going to turn around and look. And all the time he knows, from beforehand, he knows that this is what's going to happen. Allah Ta'ala finish inform him. But his love for Allah Ta'ala is more than the love for the wife. Ibrahim alayhi salam, his love for Allah Ta'ala is more than the love for the son. Each Nabi of Allah Ta'ala was tested in such ways. Imagine Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. He is so sick. His wife tells him, now why don't you make dua to Allah Ta'ala to give you shifa? So he felt that this is going against the station that a Nabi is supposed to be on. That I must just accept the decree of Allah. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was being thrown into the fire, at that time Jibrail alayhi salam came to him, can I help you? Not even a stitch of clothing on the body. You got nothing, no asbab, no means to protect yourself. You are tied. And you are already mid-air going to the blazing fire. There's nothing now that can save a person. He didn't know that the fire is going to become a garden. He didn't know that at that time. We know it now, so it's easy to say the story. But at that time, he didn't know what's going to happen. Whether he's going to get burnt alive there, what's going to happen, he doesn't know. Right? But this level of being pleased with the decree of Allah Ta'ala, Raza bil Qada, this Allah Ta'ala's decree, I must be pleased with it. The Jibreel alayhi salam comes to him, says, oh Ibrahim, allow me to help you, can I assist you, can I do something for you? Doesn't Allah Ta'ala know of my condition? Definitely Allah Ta'ala knows. Then, no problem. I don't need anything else. Allah Ta'ala knows, so I don't need anything else. How pareshan, how perturbed do we become when one little thing goes off? Not our life is now, we're going to be burnt alive or something. Nothing like that. It's some small, the price of fuel goes up. Price of fuel goes up. Khalas now. What's going to happen now? Everything is going to go up. How am I going to manage? So much pareshani, right? Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala knows. Nothing to worry about. I don't need anything. So our iman, there's something that will continue to increase. Will continue to increase. And we have to continue till we depart from the world. Hatta ya'tiyakal yaqeen. Until maut, until death. There's no stopping. There's no question of stopping. There's no question of qualifying. Yes. The day we pass away, and if we passed away with iman, now we qualified. We qualified as a believer. Qualified as a believer. Until then, we got no sureties. We have to keep trying, keep striving, keep hoping. There is one hadith, Ummul Mu'mineen, Ma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrates this hadith sharif. She says that I heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressing the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and he was speaking about the harms of wine. Speaking about the harms of wine. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the first thing that will go upside down in the ummah, the word that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used, the meaning of that word is like how you take a glass and you turn it upside down. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the first thing that will get corrupted in this deen, will go upside down in this deen, will be this matter of wine. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they sing, Kayfa ya Rasulullah? Waqad bayyana Allahu fiha ma bayyan. They said, how can this be, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the situation is such that Allah Ta'ala has openly spoken whatever He has spoken about this wine? In other words, it's a clear cut command in the Quran Sharif, that this drinking is prohibited, it's haram. Right? It's an act of shaitan, it's, you know, from the deceptions of the devil, the thing that the devil wants people to do. Ridsum min amari shaitan, fajtanibu, stay away from it. Right? So Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they couldn't fathom that when Allah Ta'ala, the highest authority, there's no authority above Allah Ta'ala. Right? Our maker, our creator, our nourisher, our sustainer. The one whom we have to go back and account for our deeds in front of Allah Ta'ala. Now when He has decreed something, how can you go against it? How can you go against the decree of Allah Ta'ala? So this is what they were surprised about, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can this thing, I mean, how can we go in reverse gear? This thing was there, people were drinking. Allah Ta'ala sent the ayat saying it is haram. So everybody gave it up. They didn't need Alcoholics Anonymous. They didn't need any, what you call, rehabilitation. They didn't need no counseling, nothing, right? Immediately, Allah Pak said it's haram, khalas, finish, it's out of our life, over, right? So how is this thing going to come back now? When Allah Ta'ala said it's haram, when Allah has said something, there's no choice now, we are the slaves of Allah. Allah has said something, finish, that's law, that's it, done. They said, now, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how come? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yusammoonuha bighayri ismiha, fayastahilluna. They will give it another name. They'll camouflage it by another name. and they'll make it permissible. So, the ulama explained that one is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly spoke about wine. But there are many things like this. Many things that are totally prohibited, totally haram, right? But insan, he will give it another name. Sometimes consciously, sometimes unconsciously. He'll give it another name and he'll do it in the guise of that name. Right? So if we have to look in our times, Allah Ta'ala forbid, Allah protect.
Ameen.
Right? But how many in the ummah are caught up in this guna? Consuming intoxicants. Right? One is wine, and other is all the other intoxicants now. Right? All your different drugs, and the fuqaha explain is same hukam, because it intoxicates. Right? So now, the sad part is, one is a person changing the name. Person changing the name. So he's got some shame in him. He's got some shame in him. Then he's changing the name. So he's camouflaging the whole thing. And then he's doing it. No, I'm not doing that. I'm doing this. Right? But today, what situation have we reached? Not even the name is being changed. Not even the name is being changed. But I'm doing it openly. Sitting in clubs, sitting in wherever, and drinking, drugging. Right? Openly. We've reached that situation. We passed that stage where people were changing the name. I don't know here in Cape Town, that we didn't grow up here. I'm talking about Natal. So the local people who were drinking, so what they used to do, they'll buy the golok, they say, buy the drink. And they put it in a brown paper packet. Or in a newspaper. No, nobody must see what I got. And then they'll drink. Quietly they'll drink. The boss mustn't know what I got in the bottle. My wife mustn't know what I had in the bottle. And then before he goes home, he'll go to the shop and buy Sen. I don't know if they sold Sen over here. He used to come in a little sachet. He'll go and buy Sen and put that thing in his mouth to camouflage the smell. But he had some level of shame in him. See? The people that are doing this, they're proud about it. How many lines I sniffed? How many I popped? Hey, you know how many popped? He was high, man. He was like this. He's like some accolade. Not even changing the name. Right? And now if you take other sins, right? You take other sins. See, sometimes you got to unpack something, right, to understand. So, let's take an example now. Right? If our child is walking outside here on the road, in his underpants, will we allow it? Don't allow it. Don't allow it, right? Worse is if it's a girl. Right? And she is walking around like that, shamelessly on the street. Even the police will stop. Even the police will stop her. The community will be up in arms. Everybody will be upset. But now give it another name. The same action, give it another name. What name we give it? Let's go to the beach. Let's go for a day to the beach. Okay? So you go to the beach. The father himself is buying that clothes for his son to wear. He's putting his son in one short pair and so on. His sutter is exposed. So we came to the beach. We're not being shameless. We came to the beach. We just gave it another name. It's the same haram taking place. You can't expose your satar. The satar can't be exposed. But now we're paying money to expose the satar. Just give it another name. There are so many things like this. You take, I don't want to go into things of fiqh. Because fiqh is something needs to be explained. But for example, just a simple thing. Today, very common, say, no, I got an investment opportunity. An investment opportunity. So who doesn't want an investment opportunity now? One person told me, he said, Maulana, you know, it's hard to make money. He said, but it's harder to look after the money after you need it. After you made money, now what to do with the money now? Now you have to work that money now. You have to do something. Can't just sit there like that. So that's more harder now. So now somebody comes up to you and says, I got an investment now. Now you all ears. An investment. Very good. So now what I offer you? I'm not offering any investment. I offer you. I say, all right. See, whatever you give me, whatever amount you give me, so I'll give you 10% returns on your money. I'll give you 10% returns on your money per annum. So now you gave me 100,000 rand. So end of the year, I must give you a return, 10,000 rand. 10% on your money. Now, I just changed the name. I called it investment. In reality, what have I done? I took a loan from you and you earning interest on that money. That is interest. If I tell you that I'm going to give you 10% on your money, that is interest. It's riba. It's haram. Right? It's not a small haram. There's very few gunas that Allah Ta'ala says war is declared. And this is one of them. Interest. Right? You find, if I tell you, let's go gamble, so, you know, haram. Can't gamble. But now I bought a motor car. I'm looking for the broker. Why I'm looking for the broker? So if my vehicle gets broke, then I don't go broke. I'm looking for the broker now. So now that you'll tell me openly. If people are talking, how much insurance are you paying on this car? What's the insurance on this car? So there we won't feel shy. We won't hide. If a person unfortunately has got the habit of gambling, Allah protect us. Today the gambling is gone on the phone. So many people, they are losing so much of money. They're stealing money sometimes from the employers. They're stealing money from the company they're working because they're addicted to this gambling. And now they can't stop. And they're gambling away on the phone. Before now, the person had to go to a casino and all of that. In the old, I'm not saying apartheid was a good thing. That's a wrong thing. Islam doesn't promote apartheid. But in those days, there were no casinos in the country. So I don't know the Cape Town, where they were going to gamble. But in Natal, people used to go to Wild Coast, and in Joburg, people used to go to Sun City, because it was just out of the border of South Africa. So Cape Town, I don't know, maybe it was safe here. There's no out of the borders. Out of the borders, end up in Robben Island or something. You can't go out of the water. So, in those days, a person had to now duck and dive and go to the casino. Nobody must know. But today, he's sitting on his phone in his house and he's gambling. He's sitting in his shop and he's gambling. But if a person is gambling, he'll hide that. He doesn't want everybody to know that he's gambling. He'll hide that. Because he understands it's a guna. But if a person has taken out insurance, if somebody bought a new vehicle, say, "Bhai, you insured this thing." His own parents will ask him, "You insured it? If not something happens, how much money are you going to lose? Make sure you insure." But insurance is gambling. Insurance is also gambling. You just give gambling another name, call it insurance. Now it's fine. Girl and boy, strange girl, strange boy, right? They got no, they're not mahram to one another. Your son, somebody's daughter. You see them alone in the car. You're not going to allow it. What's going on here? What you doing with that girl? But now, call them fiancé. Is my fiancé. Now they're alone in the car. Now they're even going for coffee. Now that youngster, he's got his fiancé. He's leaving home. Where are you going? I'm going to visit my fiancé. Tells his mother and father directly where he's going. He's going to visit the fiancé. They invited me for supper. Mother may give him some cookies that take for tea. He just gave it another name. It's still zina. It's still haram. There's no nikah. There's no nikah. It's haram. Just give it another name. No, it's my fiancé. Now finish. Legal eagles. Now it's fine. Got engagement ring. You finish, give the engagement ring. So now they can talk. Now they can go out together. They can get invited to one another's homes and everything. So there's so many things. If we really look with a fine comb, look into our lives and see how many prohibited things, haram things, has come into our lives. Right? And we're not even realizing that this thing is haram. You take, for example, the television, right? Take the television. So there was a time when as soon as a person decided to change his life, person may have been doing some gunas, whatever. Now, the Jamaat came, even for 4 months, right? Decided now, you know, I'm changing my life. So when he goes 4 months Jamaat, no TV. 4 months, no TV. Right? And then he realizes how beautiful my life is without that devil box. Right? And he comes home, Now he sits his family down and he says, look, man, we need to get rid of this shaitan here from the house. So they get rid of the devil, get rid of the shaitan, code name TV, get rid of it. And alhamdulillah, the years go. They don't know this is a Tablighi family. They've got no TV in the house. This is a alim, no TV in his home. That person is connected to that sheikh. He's got no TV in his house. Right? And then slowly, Mr. Ericsson came. And Motorola. Remember Mr. Ericsson and Mr. Motorola. That time there was no Samsung in the picture. Motorola was in the picture. Motorola, if you had the Motorola 7200 and you can open the flap, hey, you were the man. But all you could do was make a call. Make a call, then slowly SMS. If you wanted to catch the network, you have to open the area. And then slowly, one thing led to another. So first, Shaitan got us comfortable with the tool. Just a phone. SMS phone. Right? So this is a, no, it's a genuine tool. Now we can get hold of anybody, anytime, whatever, puts in the pocket, you know. Very nicely. And slowly, the tool developed into a radio, developed into games, developed into what you call music, and then it became a television. It became a television now. But the same Tablighi now, or the same Maulana now, or the same person who's connected to that share, whatever, he's telling his friend in Jamaat, or he's telling his friend in the program, you must check the script I got, man. Now it's no more bad now. When he came from 4 months, he took the TV out. Nobody must see a TV in my house. I'm a 4-monther now. Allah Ta'ala has blessed me. I've changed my life. The TV is out, it's gone. Now the phone came. Now, he's showing, while he's out, he's showing his friend, he checked the script came here now. Isn't the same thing? Just gave it another name. Instead of calling it movie, call it clip. Instead of calling it TV, call it cell phone. Today, when a person goes to purchase a phone, how is a phone marketed? Phone is marketed by the strength of its camera, the technology of the camera, and the memory. These are the two main things, the memory and the camera. But nothing to do with making a call. The memory and the camera got nothing to do with making a call. But it's called a cell phone. So phone, it's not a TV, it's not a movie, it's not a cinema, it's not pornography, no. It's a phone. So now, your wife can have one. You can have one. Contract finish, pass it on to the big daughter or the big son. Just lying here. It's a phone to keep in touch. As soon as you take the phone, now you're touched by the devil. So we're all keeping in touch. And the devil is also in touch. And now the screen is also gone touch. Before, when they first came out with this internet things, they came out with the Blackberries. You know? They still kept the name Black. It was dark, you know, Shaitan, black, evil. So you have to do a lot of typing, you know, with the thumb. QWERTY. Now, touch. Even a little baby can operate it. little child can operate it. The child doesn't know ABC, nothing, but the child knows the picture. If I press this, I'm going to the movies. If I press that, I'm going there. If I press that, I'm going to the game. Little children, masum children, masters of it. Just gave it another name. So there are so many things like this in our lives. We got to really soul search. Go to soul search and check that what deen did my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam take from me? Which deen? What is that deen that will get me radical fawzul kabir? Is it what I'm following today? Or is it what the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum understood? Today our focus has become this worldly life. Most of our focus is this worldly life. If something goes off in this worldly life, we are perturbed. Deen, that's something abstract. It's abstract. It's therefore now, I need to get married, man. So I must wake up and need to ask. I need a wife. I need a job. Somebody was telling me the other day, he's leaving for Hajj, you know. He says, Maulana, the Muazzin of our Musalla, he came to me and he said that, you know, you are going for Hajj. So I have a request. And I said, what's the request? He said, I need you to make a dua for me on Yawmul Arafah. While you are in Arafat, on Yawmul Arafah, you make a dua for me. Now what a noble thing. Man wants you to remember him on the day of Arafah. So he says to him, okay, what dua must I make for you? He said, but you promised me you're going to do it for me. He said, well, look, if I remember, I will try, I will remember, I'll make a note of it, whatever. What dua must I make for you? You know, you make a dua that Allah must give me a G60. Allah must give me a G60. Yeah. Imagine you're requesting the Haji now on the plains of Arafat, you make a dua, Allah must give me a G60. So our minds are gone towards our world. Right? Due to our world, we will even miss Salah with Jama. It's busy. Not getting time, you know, to offload one truck, I have to do this, some goods came in. That happened. That fellow was off. This, that, no. Too busy. So I had to miss my Salah also. Miss. The first casualty is our deen. The dunya must run well. Casualty can be my deen. What time is it?
4 minutes.
We got a little bit there. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you all know in Madinah Munawwara there used to be the Ashab al-Suhfa. The Sahaba radiyallahu anhu who had nothing. They had nothing, they had no family, no home, no job, nothing. They were the students of Islam. As soon as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out of the house, they latch on. Yes, then. So they got, as soon as, if any one of them has to get married or get involved in business or something, no more you on the sofa. Now you go. Out. So these Ashab al-Sufa, they lived like this. Sahaba radiallahu anhum sometimes would bring some sadaqah. Sometimes they would bring a branch of dates, hang it there for them to eat those dates. Sometimes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received something, he would give them. If nothing came, they go hungry. We can't fathom the lives that general Sahaba lived. Imagine one day, there are two riwayat. One says it was daytime. intense heat. And the other riwayat says at night. So maybe two different incidents. But the same thing happened. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his home. He finds Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He finds Umar radiallahu anhu. Both of them are also out. He asks them, what has taken you out of your homes? He says, hunger. Right? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, by Allah, the thing that took you out is the same thing that took me out. There were times when for 3 days nothing eaten. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There were times when in all 9 homes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there's no food. So we can't even imagine this kind of a life. Right? So this Ashab al-Suffa, sometime when Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing salah, out of weakness they used to collapse. They're so hungry and I haven't eaten for the last 3 days. Right? So out of intense hunger and weakness they would collapse. Right? Now if somebody has to collapse. We may collapse because we eat too much of sweets or something and the sugar is gone too much. Or we may collapse for that reason. Right? Nobody is collapsing out of hunger. Right? But if somebody has to be in a situation of some poverty, some destitution, so what's our fikr now? We need to sort this fellow out. Financially, now we need to do something for him. Right? Give him a hamper, or try and organize him a job. If he's got wealthy family members, will go. What's wrong with you? Not looking after your family member here? Come on, sort him out. Here, these Sahaba, they are falling down unconscious due to hunger. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finishes the salah. Completes the salah. He goes up to them. By then now they have woken up. He tells them that if only you knew the reward that Allah Ta'ala has for you on this condition of yours, you would make dua that you must get more destitution, more poverty. Mm-hmm. He never turned their minds towards the world. The Ansar, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, from the time the Muhajirun had come to Madinah Munawwara. So they now shared their wealth with the Muhajirun. Right? Then all the battles started. So most of the time now they are gone out for jihad. They are gone out. But the result, their orchards are being neglected. Their main source of income was their orchards. Right? They were date farmers, khajur farmers. That's the land of khajur. Right? The animals are getting neglected. Their homes are getting neglected. Those that had businesses are getting neglected. So after Khaybar, when now things eased off financially, things eased off for the mu'mineen, for the believers. And obviously the numbers also have now increased of the Muslims. So this thought came to the minds of the Ansar. Let's see, maybe now we need to step back a little bit, right? From going out in jihad and all that. Now we need to step back a little bit. Let the others do it now. The numbers have increased. Others can go. And we need to now sort our orchards out. We need to put these orchards right. We need to see to our businesses, our animals, whatever. We need to sort things out. As soon as they thought like that, Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayat. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Do not extend your hands to your destruction. You thinking by sorting your world out, you're sorting your life out. No. By doing that, you are extending your hand to destruction. You carry on doing my work. I'll sort you out. I'll take care of your risk. Your needs will be taken care of. Your greeds, no. That's in Jannah. Greeds and desires and all that, that's in Jannah. That will sort out in Jannah. There is a place for it. Not the world. The world, your needs, I promise you, it will be taken care of. Don't know if you're going to have time, but you must have heard the name Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, right? So Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, he used to be the best dressed youth in Makkah Mukarramah. When he is going to come out of the house, everybody used to be waiting. It was days of Jahiliyyah. The girls also used to be waiting to see how he's going to be dressed. Came from a wealthy home. Father used to import clothing for him. Clothing that was not found in Makkah Mukarramah, he used to be wearing. Right? He brings iman. He is stripped of all of that. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends him to Madina Munawara. He is the first teacher in Madina Munawara. He goes to give da'wah to the people of Madina Munawara. One day after Hijrat now, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting with some sahaba radiyallahu anhum having some deeni discussion. Mus'ab bin Umair is walking past in the distance. He is wearing one cloth. Just one piece of material. It's so worn out that it has got leather patches. It couldn't even be patched now anymore with fabric. It is patched now with leather. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at him and he starts to tear. Now many people that hear this hadith, and even in the maktab when this hadith is taught in the primary madrasa, then it is taught to say that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at his pitiable condition. That look at him, what a difficult condition he is in now. One day he was the best dressed youth, and now look at his situation. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt him sorry and he cried. But that was not the reason for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's crying. Ulama explained, those tears of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam were tears of joy, not tears of sadness. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pleased that there are such people in the ummah who are prepared to give up their dunya for Allah's deen. That Allah Ta'ala has placed such people in the ummah that are prepared to make that sacrifice. And what is the proof of that? The proof of that is what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said thereafter. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then asked the sahaba radiallahu anhu. He said, what will be your condition when the time will come? You will wear a different garment in the morning and a different garment in the evening. You know, we got pyjamas and all that. We got different clothes we wear during the day, different clothes we wear in the night. Right? And one platter will be taken and another platter will be served. And your homes, you will put curtains like how it's put on the Kaaba Sharif. So expensive things, you will decorate your home and. Sahaba radiyallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if that kind of condition is to come, it will be very good. Because that means we will have wealth. If we are able to do that, now we've got a different garment for the day, different garment for the night, there's ample food, homes are taken care of. So that means we'll have sufficient wealth where all our expenses are sorted out. So if that condition comes, it will be good, because then we will just free ourselves only to make ibadat. We will immerse ourselves only in ibadat. And that's how we think also. And if I just manage to buy my house, put my car, business is doing okay, and then I'll become a 5-10 namaz. I'm just starting my practice now. Lawyer, engineer, doctor, whatever. Now, once I just free my things here, I've got a good client base and everything, then I'll make it for namaz. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, you better off how you are now. Because those worldly engagements, they come with their own headaches. They take a person further away. You think that, no, I'll be okay. Very few people can do that. Most will get more and more and more involved. Allah Ta'ala, give me tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala, give you tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala, give us understanding. Allah Ta'ala, increase the hidayat, increase our iman, give us tawfiq to carry out more and more good deeds and be able to sacrifice for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم